5,000 of their workers have joined the picket lines.
We don't have the staffing, we don't have the tools, we don't have the resources to put our guests first. And that's exactly what our industry is about.
Unionized housekeepers want to reinstate automatic daily room cleaning that went away in the pandemic. The strikes are happening at 25 hotels throughout 9 cities at places like Marriott's, Hilton's, and Hyatt's. Matt Piper, CBS News.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports on a double murder suspect, a juvenile.
Police in the small northwest Louisiana town of Minden say a 10-year-old boy has confessed to fatally shooting 2 people, the 82-year-old former mayor of the town of 11,000 and his 31-year-old daughter. There is no word on the relationship between the young boy and the 2 people who were killed.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is pushing back against pressure to reach a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
I would define the end of the war in Gaza.
In Gaza.
When Hamas no longer rules Gaza, we throw them out.
Hamas wants a full Israeli withdrawal from Gaza in order to free the hostages it is still holding. Pope Francis is traveling to Asia in one of the longest foreign trips any pope has ever taken.
The 87-year-old pope, who has had health issues and also suffers from limited mobility, using a wheelchair most of the time, showing no signs of slowing down and has a packed schedule.
That's CBS's Ana Matranga. Tropical storm Yagi is moving away from the northern Philippines, leaving behind at least 14 people killed in landslides and floods. Storm warnings remain, however, in most northern Philippine provinces, where residents are in danger from more landslides in rain-soaked mountain villages and flooding in the farming lowlands of Luzon, the country's most populous region. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the danger of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. 6 different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
The Brewers had a 5-game winning streak snapped. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports. It took 11 innings, but the Cincinnati Reds took down the Brewers 4-3 on Sunday thanks to a walk-off single to score the automatic runner. Still, the Brewers took 3 of 4 games from the Reds in the weekend series. Now, Milwaukee comes home to take on the St. Louis Cardinals Monday afternoon in a 3-game set. They'll get a day off Thursday before playing Colorado this weekend. The NFL season kicks off this week. On Thursday, the Kansas City Chiefs face the Baltimore Ravens. On Friday, the Green Bay Packers will play the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. The Packers matchup has plenty of intrigue as both teams change defensive coordinators and running backs for this season, and it'll be the first ever NFL game in Brazil. Kickoff will be after 7 p.m. on Friday night. The Wisconsin Badgers trailed early in the fourth quarter, but two late touchdowns gave the Badgers a 28-14 win on Friday. Next up, Wisconsin will take on FCS foe South Dakota this Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium with a 2:30 p.m. kickoff. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and light winds for us here in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, plentiful sunshine once again as our temperatures approach the 80-degree mark. Right now, it's 55.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. We're doing a special three-hour deep dive into the Kennedy assassination with my old friend, colleague, co-author, Lamar Waldron, the books that we wrote together about this, Ultimate Sacrifice and Legacy of Secrecy. Also, Lamar's most recent book, The Watergate, The Hidden History, and The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination. Variety magazine called him the ultimate JFK historian. The Chicago Tribune called him one of the best investigative journalists in America. And we started with Dean Rusk, John Kennedy's Secretary of State, came down to Atlanta when Lamar and I were running an ad agency in Atlanta. We were doing a newsletter for the public broadcasting station. Dean Rusk, we interviewed him, and we asked him, you know, right straight up, was there another attempt to assassinate Kennedy that nobody knew, or to assassinate, excuse me, Castro, that nobody knew about, you know, after the Bay of Pigs and after the Cuban Missile Crisis? And Dean Rusk said, yes, there was, which led us to Harry Williams, who was involved in this, who was very, very tight with Bobby, Bobby's closest aide during 1963 and 64, traveled all over the country together. And this was, you know, one of the most amazing and difficult interviews, I think, that I've ever had, that we've ever had, you know, meeting, well, actually with Harry Williams. Not so much that, but the John Nolan one. And then Harry led us to John Nolan. But just wrap up Harry Williams real quick here, Lamar, and then let's get into John Nolan.
So what happened with Harry was, so the CIA was still spending millions of dollars a month on all these Cuban exile leaders. Bobby Kennedy said, look, I can't deal with all these guys. I will deal with you, Harry, because you're my friend. I trust you. You pick out, you know, maybe four other leaders from across the political spectrum. We'll back them, you know, the CIA is giving money to lots of other people, but we'll give some real money to the people you pick, and then they will all have to agree to work with Commander Almeida in a coalition government after the coup. Because, again, the Kennedys didn't view this as an assassination. They viewed it as, well, the word everybody used with us was elimination.
Right.
And a coup plan. It was helping, you know, it was helping Cubans overthrow Castro, and then it would be followed by democracy. The mafia would not be allowed.
And let me just jump in here real quickly, Lamar, because you know, it's a whole brand new hour, and I want to, the biggest point that we made last hour that I failed to mention was that Harry, you know, revealed to us and you know, that the commander of the Cuban army, Juan Almeida, had reached out to Harry and said, I'm willing to help overthrow Castro and the Castro regime, but we're going to need American help, you know, particularly after that happens. Bobby took this to John. John signed off on it. Bobby signed off on it. Cyrus Vance knew about it.
So it's this big secret program, but unfortunately, even though the Kennedys were determined they would keep the mafia out of the coup plan. Remember, they didn't know the CIA was still working with the mafia to try and assassinate Fidel. So they were determined to keep these mobsters that Bobby was prosecuting, makes sense, out of the coup plan, and the mafia would be forbidden from reopening their posh casinos in Cuba after the coup plan. So the mafia was totally shut out. The mafia had nothing to gain by letting this coup plan go ahead because it wouldn't do them any good. So, unfortunately, at least half a dozen members of the mafia, and by that I mean mafia associates as well as made members, found out about the coup plan. I mean, people ranging from Jack Ruby to the guy John Martino I had mentioned earlier, David Morales, the head of CIA operations in Miami. So a half dozen mobsters and mafia associates, which of course would include Marcello, the godfather of Louisiana and Texas, Trafficante, godfather of Tampa and much of Florida, and Johnny Roselli, the Chicago Mafia's man in Hollywood and Las Vegas, who was the biggest CIA asset of the group. They found out about this. And so what happened was, as hard as Bobby and Harry tried to keep the mafia out, they were able to worm their way in to learn about this plan, and they knew this was so secret, a year after we almost got blown up at the Cuban Missile Crisis, that if they could somehow mix their plans of taint, I guess you would say, the Kennedy plans to stage the coup in Cuba, if they could mix that up with the mafia's plans to use their CIA help not to kill Fidel but to kill JFK, that would force a cover-up that wouldn't last weeks or months, that could last years and decades, and it has.
Yeah, and so, maybe we should pause here for just one moment and point out that at this point now, late in 1963, as the mafia has found out about all this stuff, they have also decided that they're going to kill John Kennedy.
Exactly. And we'll get into more detail on that later. But, yeah, they originally were going to kill Bobby Kennedy, because he was the attorney general prosecuting them. But as Carl and Hoffa was determined to do that, we talked to some Justice Department people who had come across that plot. And but as Carlos Marcello explained to one of his friends, and I'm sure also explained to his close associate, Jimmy Hoffa, if you kill JFK, I'm sorry, if you kill Bobby Kennedy, the Attorney General, JFK will just send in the army after you.
Yeah, wasn't the phrase he used in that meeting? We talked with his lawyer.
What he said was, if you cut off the tail of a dog, meaning if you kill Bobby Kennedy, the head of the dog, meaning JFK, will turn around and bite you.
Exactly.
But if you cut off the head of the dog, then the tail quits wagging, because everybody knew that Bobby Kennedy and LBJ didn't like each other. So literally, the day JFK was going to Dallas, so Harry Williams had his four other groups. They were called Bobby Kennedy's Five Fingers, because after Almeida staged the coup and blamed Fidel and probably Raoul's death on a Russian or Russian sympathizer, just like if you open up your hand with Cuba being in your palm and then you close it, and those five fingers all go into Cuba. Harry Williams, there was a military group that we're going to talk about very shortly, being trained at Fort Benning, Georgia. So the first U.S. troops into Cuba after the coup, because would be not a bunch of crew-cut, all-white U.S. Marines. No, it would be Cuban Americans, the veterans from the Bay of Pigs who had been in training, who were now officers and enlisted men, and the officers were being trained at Fort Benning, Georgia. So they would be the first U.S. troops in this multiracial group, and it was even commanded by a black man who you talked to. And so this was all set. Harry was meeting with top CIA officials in a safe house in Washington on November 22nd. He was getting ready to go in to Cuba. By Monday, he would be going from Guantanamo, the U.S. base, into Cuba. He would be with Commander Almeida. So they were just days away from, I guess you would call it, the fail-safe point, where Harry couldn't be called back, because we didn't have a good way to communicate with Almeida once Harry was inside Cuba, and Harry would wait there until the coup. So these Cuban exile groups were trained, the Cuban American troops were trained, Harry was there. It was a go. It was all set, and then they get the call that JFK has been shot.
Right, and I gotta say, just for people who are listening, you and I sat in Colorado in a restaurant with Harry over a few drinks, and as he laid this whole story out for us, I mean, it was just absolutely
breathtaking.
And by the way, the reason he was still alive to talk when so many of his associates were murdered in the 60s and the 70s was because this man, who was a hero to every Cuban-American in Miami who could not buy a drink or pay for a restaurant meal in Miami, he chose to live in the snowy wilds of Colorado. Well,
you know, Bill Cooper thought he was
hiding. That kept him alive.
Right. Bill Cooper thought he was hiding out. I mean, you know, it turned out he was just, you know, he was importing guns. But the other thing was that he thought that this plan had been declassified. He didn't realize that he was telling us something that was still top secret, which is why when I met Oliva, he threatened my life over just mentioning this case.
And the important thing there is that Oliva disappeared from the scene in Cuba in the late 1980s.
So when I'm talking
to Dean Rusk, when we're talking to Harry Williams, and we're about to get into General Oliva and John Nolan, they all assumed that when you disappear in Cuba and you're an official, you're dead, right?
Right.
So that's the other big reason they were willing to share all this with
them. Right. So they, and obviously if the asset in Cuba, the head of the army who is going to overthrow Castro, if he's dead, then the plan must be gone, right? And so anyhow, we'll continue with this conversation with Lamar Waldron in just a moment, 15 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You'll find these stories all laid out, by the way, in the books Ultimate Sacrifice, Legacy of Secrecy, and Watergate, The Hidden History by Lamar Waldron.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Human beings have a couple of unique characteristics. The first is that we can be very tender and loving and concerned and caring toward people we perceive as being our group, us. We can also be extraordinarily violent against people that we consider to be them, if we think of them or this other as a threat. Probably a classic example of this is Adolf Hitler convincing Germans that, you know, Jews were a threat to them and good Germans going along with the Holocaust. Well, this othering is built into our DNA. This is, you know, ancient stuff. And the Republican Party, since the time of Nixon, when he started, you know, picking up the white racist vote after Democrats laid it down in the 60s, the Republicans have been using this to try to other minorities in America as a political strategy. And this is really deadly stuff. There's a whole op-ed about it over at HartmanReport.com. Is othering human nature's deadliest instinct? Check it out. Welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron about the Kennedy assassination. So wrapping up this story about Harry Williams and getting into John Nolan here, Lamar.
Right. So again, the plan is put on hold when JFK is killed. And by the way, Bobby Kennedy, who's good friends with Harry, Bobby's also good friends with Haynes Johnson, who's a top journalist at the time. And so Haynes Johnson calls Bobby Kennedy. Bobby has left the Justice Department. He, even before the assassination, he's at his nice estate, Hickory Hill. And Haynes Johnson gets through to Bobby Kennedy, and he mentions that Harry's in the room with him, and Bobby says, put Harry on the line. Harry comes on the line, and before Harry comes on the line, Bobby tells journalist Haynes Johnson, who has written a book, by the way, on the Bay of Pigs, with Harry Williams.
Now, this is right after John is shot.
Right. This was in 2 hours. Within 2 hours,
right.
John being shot. Haynes Johnson, like I say, he's visiting Harry at a safe house in Washington where Harry was.
And we confirmed all this.
Right. And so, Harry and Haynes confirmed it.
Yes, to us. And
though,
others.
Though Haynes told a slightly different story to another writer until I told him we had recorded our interviews with Harry, and then he went back and confirmed what he had told us. Yeah. And that's basically, Bobby Kennedy told Haynes Johnson, one of your guys did it. Right. Manuel Artemi, who was the mafia compromised, one of those five fingers for Bobby Kennedy, was one of those co-authors who had worked with Haynes Johnson. So Bobby's initial instinct was to finger a mob-connected Cuban exile who was part of the coup plan.
And this is...
In any event, so...
If I could, real quick, this sure. is part of the extraordinary, I don't know if it's pronounced pathos or pathos, you know, it's just the kind of awful sadness about this. Bobby, after his brother has been assassinated, 2 hours after his brother is assassinated, is basically saying to this reporter and to Harry, one of his very closest friends, the program that my brother and I put together to overthrow Castro, that was also going to help them in the election of 64, by the way, let's add, that this program that we put together to overthrow Castro,
is what got turned around and used to kill my brother.
And That's exactly right.
And that just crushed him. I mean, he walked around for months just crushed by the
idea. He was shattered. We talked to John Davis, the Kennedy, who was part of Jackie Kennedy's family and wrote the Marcello biography, and he was at the White House the Saturday after the assassination on Friday, and he said, yeah, Bobby was just a shattered wreck of a person.
Yeah.
So let's get to John Nolan.
Right. We've got about 2 minutes.
So once JFK is assassinated, his body, for some reason, of course, there's no autopsy done in Dallas, and the Kennedy, the security officials, FBI, Secret Service, they practically forced JFK's body out of the hospital because the Dallas officials, they want to do the autopsy there, right? And the Secret Service, FBI, they get it on the plane, they get it to Bethesda, a naval hospital. So why is all that? So one of the people that Harry Williams said we should talk to was a guy by the name of John Nolan. Most of your listeners will not know John Nolan from a hole in the ground, but John Nolan worked at the Justice Department. He was an attorney there. He was Bobby Kennedy's chief aide during 1963 and early 64. He had all the security clearances. Every top secret document that got sent to Bobby Kennedy, who was running the Cuban operation for JFK, was seen by John Nolan. So John Nolan knew everything. He is one of those dozen U.S. officials who knew, the coup plan is no what-if possibility. It's a sure thing. And so Harry said, you guys should talk to John Nolan. So we called and I arranged he said, okay, you can come to we can go out to lunch. I don't really want to talk about this at the office. We can go out to lunch. Okay. So I'm going to fly up to Washington. The day before I fly up, Nolan says, now Nolan, by 1992, he is a senior partner at Washington's most powerful law firm. He remained close to Bobby Kennedy, working on his last campaign until Bobby was shot. He then remained close to the Kennedy family, giving Ted Kennedy advice after Chappaquiddick that if Ted Kennedy had followed, Ted Kennedy might have become president someday. So John Nolan is this, John Nolan's the kind of attorney who argues in front of the Supreme Court, not once or twice, but he represents big companies, but he worked in civil rights for Bobby Kennedy, made dangerous trips to the South in the summer of 63. So John Nolan, was a guy who knew all the secrets. And when we come back, I'll tell you the biggest secret that he revealed about JFK's autopsy that is just amazing.
We'll be right back with that, with Lamar Waldron, the guy the Chicago Tribune called one of the best investigative journalists in the United States, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
After we interviewed Dean Rusk back in the 80s, Lamar and I worked on this for nearly 20 years. Lamar has continued the work. We'll be right back. On the line with us is world-renowned integrative veterinarian Dr. Marty Goldstein. He's the author of two books and was featured in a film about animal health. Dr. Marty is also the inventor of the Nature's Blend freeze-dried healthy dog food, and he's the driving force behind DrMartyPets.com. Dr. Marty, welcome back to the program.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So tell us about Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. What inspired you for this?
The old motto, it all starts with food. You are what you eat.
Yep.
I've worked on approximately 250,000 patients in my career. And from my experience, I have seen thousands and thousands of companion animals where their health turned around just on the nutritional dietary change.
I can tell you, my dogs eat your food and they have a lot more energy than they did before. We've been feeding them Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend for at least a year now, and it's just, it made a difference, a noticeable difference, so I want to testify.
And there it is. Just do an experiment. Go out and live on fast food for a month.
Yeah.
Tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
Then take the next month, clean out a little, and then eat on really biologically appropriate, healthy fish, salads, vegetables, and this and that, you're going to feel better. Your energy is going to soar. That's proven in the human field. Dogs are carnivores and should be eating a high-quality meat diet.
Right.
Show me one flat tooth in a dog's mouth.
Exactly, yeah.
Or chewing grain.
Yeah, they are not cows.
Yeah, they're not cows. Our food for dogs is 81% protein.
Yeah.
And they're doing so well on it.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Dr. Marty Goldstein. Learn more at drmartypets.com/Tom. That's drmartypets.com/THOM.
I just love being on your show.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. FlightAware's Kathleen Banks tells us there are hundreds of delayed flights and dozens of cancellations at Newark Liberty International Airport.
What people might not be aware of is there's a lot going on behind the scenes with Newark Air Traffic Control. So it's one of the busiest airspaces in the entire world. It's been suffering perennially from an air traffic controller shortage.
Those disruptions can have a ripple effect at other airports. If you get to your hotel late, CBS's Errol Barnett says you'll experience more issues.
Approximately 10,000 hotel workers walked off the job at 25 hotels across the country, including Marriott, Hyatt, and Hilton properties in 9 cities.
Pope Francis has touched down in Southeast Asia, beginning an 11-day tour.
His first stop is Jakarta in Indonesia, the largest Muslim country in the world.
That's CBS's Anna Matranga. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Plans to reroute part of Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 in northern Wisconsin are now in the hands of federal regulators. Enbridge aims to address environmental concerns. The tribe's lawyer is Gussie Lord. She says it's not enough.
This reroute is not a solution. It's a full solution to the danger of the current pipeline. In fact, it really extends the dangers of the pipeline and increases the threat of a devastating oil spill.
It's not clear when the Army Corps of Engineers will decide on the application. 6 different hunting seasons are underway in Wisconsin. The Department of Natural Resources says early seasons for Canada goose and teal, as well as mourning dove, rail, snipe, and common gallinule, all opened this weekend. The Canada goose population in Wisconsin is about 40% higher than average this year. This is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. America has been wondering why Pamela Anderson took a powder when it came to appearing in the 4-episode docuseries After Baywatch. Well, not all of America, but some of America. Okay, a few people. Despite being prominently featured in one of the episodes that actually credits her with making the show a success thanks to her infamous sex tape with her husband at the time, Tommy Lee, she said no thanks. Anderson says when the sex tape came out, she was mortified and to this day still has not watched it. The studio reportedly was going to fire Anderson to protect the show until it actually made ratings skyrocket. It's called show business, folks. After Baywatch is currently available to stream on Hulu. Someone is using the image and likeness of Hollywood icon Tom Hanks to sell wonder drugs and cure-alls on the internet. Hanks appeared in a public service announcement to let people know that it is AI and he would never try to sell people something that was fraudulent, except for the man with one red shoe.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear skies and light winds for us here in the overnight as temperatures tumble into the upper 40s. On Tuesday, sunshine and highs in the upper 70s. By Wednesday, plentiful sunshine once again as our temperatures approach the 80-degree mark. Right now, it's 55.
Matt and Air on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Got this thing called the suspend list. And the suspend list, if you're on the suspend list, when you show up, you're given a provisional ballot. Provisional ballots are basically placebo ballots. More often than not, they don't get counted. And so this is the new little scheme. There's a whole article about it, Democracy Undone, the Texas Placebo Ballot Plot, over at HartmanReport.com. Check it out. And welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron, the author of The Hidden History of the JFK Assassination, and the co-author with me, or actually I'm the co-author with him, of Legacy of Secrecy and Ultimate Sacrifice, two other books about the Kennedy assassination, the Bobby Kennedy assassination, and the Martin Luther King assassination. Lamar, we've gone from Dean Rusk, Kennedy's Secretary of State, to Harry Williams, who was the hero of the Bay of Pigs and was helping organize this plan, along with the head of the Cuban army, Juan Almeida, to overthrow Castro or assassinate Castro with a Cuban-aligned patsy, essentially, taking the credit for it on December 1st, 1963. And, now we are talking about John Nolan, right?
Right, right. And by the way, it wasn't a Cuban-aligned patsy. It was a Russian-aligned patsy.
Or a Russian, thank you very much.
Russian or Russian sympathizer.
In Cuba.
Who would be in Cuba to, as in Harry's own words, take the fall.
Yeah.
So John Nolan, the top assistant. I mean, Bobby Kennedy had a secretary, Angie Novello. John Nolan was his high-level executive assistant, you know, number two, could speak for Robert Kennedy, saw every top secret piece of paper. So, and it was in fact John Nolan who was helping to route those calls, you know, deciding who could speak to Bobby Kennedy the afternoon of the assassination while Bobby was at his estate and who couldn't, so he was making sure the right people, like CIA Director John McCone, knew where Bobby Kennedy was, and you know, and blocking all the non-essential calls. So what happens is, so JFK's body is taken from Dallas against the wishes of the Dallas authorities, flown to Washington on the same plane where Jackie Kennedy and new President Lyndon Johnson are, and then it is taken to Bethesda Naval Hospital, where there's an autopsy, which has been the subject of many books. I mean, books not just about the JFK assassination. Many books have been written just about the autopsy because there are so many inconsistencies and mysteries and things that don't add up, and the main autopsy doctor burning his notes with his first autopsy reports in his fireplace because he didn't even know about one of the main wounds in the JFK's body when he finished the autopsy. So all those questions about the autopsy, as far as I'm concerned, now they've all been answered, because when so John Nolan, it was originally we were going to get together for lunch in Washington. He was going to leave his, you know, the biggest law firm in Washington, where he's a senior partner, meet me for lunch. We were going to talk, you know, and the only reason he was talking to me, he made it clear, was because he was still friends with Harry Williams after all those years. They were still close. He trusted Harry, and if Harry said I was okay to talk to, he would give me an hour of his time. Okay, so then I get to Washington. I call him and say, so we need to make some lunch plans. He says, no, can't. I can't meet you for lunch. You just come to the office, okay? So I say, okay, I'll come to the office. And then he's like, no, we can't do that. Somebody might see you here. And again, this is talking, you know, this is because we're going to be talking about a plan that's been kept secret since 1963. This is 1992. And then he's like, I just can't see you. I'm like, look, I flew all the way up here. Harry said you'd be a good guy to talk to. So he agrees to give me a phone interview, okay? We start talking. every time, and I'm not at the Mayflower where we usually stayed, but I'm at the I think the Grand Hyatt where we would do our communication seminars, and every time I would get. Yeah, we talk about general stuff, and you know, he was a Korean veteran. My dad was a Korean veteran. He was about the same age when he was working for Robert Kennedy than I am. I was when I was talking to him on the phone. So yeah, I was looking for those things in common. And but whenever I would get close to talking about the coup plan, the worst crackling would come on the phone, and we would get cut off. I mean, it didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. It didn't happen three times. It didn't happen four times. It happened at least six times. Finally, the last time. Somebody doesn't want us to talk about this. So I go outside. Luckily, there's a bellhop. I whip out a $10 or $20 bill, say, look, get me a phone out of one of these other rooms, plug it in here, and just take my phone, put it in the other room. You know, so bellhop does that, bellman, I should say. And sure enough, no more problems. There was just something funny about that phone. And so he confirms everything Harry had told us about the coup plan. He confirms that E. Howard Hunt and James McCord were the top two CIA agents assigned to help Harry, not to give Harry orders, but to help Harry, which, by the way, E. Howard Hunt, who was a big racist, super resented, and that Bernard Barker was E. Howard Hunt's assistant for the coup plan. And so he's confirming all this stuff. And then we start talking about the autopsy, and he says, you know, well, Bobby had me meet him in Washington, and then Bobby was up in the 17th floor family suite at Bethesda Naval Hospital. I was down in and just outside the autopsy room on a phone, and I was relaying Bobby Kennedy's orders to the White House physician, Admiral Berkeley, who was in the autopsy room the whole time, and then Admiral Berkeley was giving orders to the autopsy physicians, sometimes through the commanding officer of Bethesda Naval Hospital. So sometimes it would go, you know, it would literally, Bobby's 17th floor with Jackie, he's on the phone with Nolan, Nolan's relaying what Bobby wants to Admiral Berkeley, the White House physician. Admiral Berkeley is then either relaying those orders directly, in some cases, to the autopsy physicians or to the commanding officer, then relaying Bobby's wishes to the autopsy physician. Bobby Kennedy controlled the autopsy.
Right. If I can just insert real quickly here, at that point in time, Bobby Kennedy believed he knew who had killed his brother.
Oh, right, right. And he was assuming.
And he thought he had some role in it.
Well, Bobby Kennedy thought that, yes, somebody somehow connected with the coup plan had turned part of the coup plan against JFK.
Right. And this had to be covered up no matter what, because this was still a live plan.
And get this, Bobby Kennedy was part of the cover-up, as John Nolan confirmed in a document you got at the Kennedy Library in Massachusetts confirmed, and then I got 20 more pages. Since September of 1963, a secret subcommittee of the National Security Council, overseen by, you know, on the orders of Bobby Kennedy, was making plans for what to do if an American official was assassinated, and it seemed in any way somehow related to Cuba. Because they were worried, what if Castro found out about the coup plan and tried to retaliate? So since mid-September, the secret subcommittee had representatives from the State Department, from the CIA, from the Department of the Army in the form of Alexander Haig and Joseph Califano. They were making these plans. So
right.
Nolan,
if I could interrupt just to clarify, this is after the Cuban Missile Crisis, and their fear was that if Castro found out that Kennedy was going to try to assassinate him on December 1st, 1963, number one, he could thwart it, but number two, if it happened or if it got publicized, it could cause Russia to intervene again, and it could lead to World War III. It could lead to the extinction of the entire world or a large chunk of it.
Exactly, because we had almost had World War III the year before, and they worried about things like, well, maybe the U.S., I mean, maybe Cuba might blow up an airliner. But like I say, one of their biggest worries was that, what if an American official got assassinated before the coup plan and there looked like there was some Cuban connection? So Nolan, so we've only got about 21, I believe it's 21 pages of what are probably close to 1,000 pages of official U.S. government plans for what to do with an American official's essay. We've got 21 pages. The rest of those are supposed to be released December 15th. Of course, they won't be. But John Nolan saw every one of those pages. He saw every one of them. So he's telling me, he said, look, that's why JFK's body didn't have the autopsy done in Dallas. And he gave me this example. And by the way, you won't find Nolan's name in any of our books. He is referred to as a Kennedy aide. So he's not named, you know, because this is one of the first detailed times we're ever talking about this. So his name is not in print.
He just passed away.
Well, he passed away. Actually, he passed away almost 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But then, you know, then we had COVID. I didn't want to rush right out and do it. And I've mentioned him on your show exactly one other time with no real detail. So what Nolan gave me this incredible example. He said, look, what if a week before the coup plan, it looked like the U.S. ambassador to Panama had been shot on a street in Panama City. In Panama, was that Castro trying to send us a message? What would we need to do? Well, you sure wouldn't want the U.S. ambassador's autopsy done in a Panamanian hospital. You would want to take it to a secure military facility. You would want to, you'd have where the autopsy would be done not by private doctors but by military doctors, subject to military command.
Once again, Lamar, the reason why they were doing this was they were afraid that if the American public found out that a U.S. official had been assassinated by Castro, that would create so much pressure on the Kennedy administration to attack Cuba in retaliation, much like we attacked Afghanistan after 9/11, that attack on Cuba would be inevitable, and that would provoke World War III, and that had to be stopped at all measures.
Exactly right, Tom. That's exactly right. So. Because Nolan said, look, what if we attack Cuba? Then it turns out it was just a common mugging or the ambassador had been shot by a jealous lover. So he said, we have to control the autopsy. We have to control all of the medical evidence. We have to control the release of any information about that autopsy. And there were other things, too. I mean, just in general, anything about that murder had to be filtered and carefully weighed in terms of national security. So I'll tell you, again, one more thing about Nolan, then we're going to move into somebody else's secret that we've never named before.
Yeah. Until today. And I remember when I found, well, it's this is bringing back so many recollections of all the years that we did all this work on this. It was amazing. Anyhow, back with more of Lamar Waldron in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archive.
We're doing a deep dive on the anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy into who killed him, how, and why.
Old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free and give you a tax donation receipt. Call right now at 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435. That's 800-280-9435. 800-280-9435.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, many of you know I talk a lot about how to improve your credit score in my radio minutes and also in my YouTube videos. But today, I'm going to talk about how to think about your credit score when you're trying to figure out how to get out of a lot of debt. And when you're in that situation, it's important not to let worries about your credit score determine which debts you pay first or how you pay your debts off. In other words, don't just rush to pay off a debt because a collector is threatening your credit. By that time, your credit report likely already shows you're behind and maybe even in collections. And frantically paying won't help much, and not paying won't make it that much worse. Take a breath, make your plan. I know that opening those envelopes and figuring out what's going on can be pretty tough. I'm here to say, it's okay. You can figure it out. You can do it. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious. Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. Golden years or golden scams? The Republican battle against your retirement. That's the title of an article over at HartmanReport.com about these two federal judges, one appointed by Trump, the other by Bush down in Texas, who just blew up this program that Joe Biden and the Department of Labor put into place to require people who advise people on their retirement funds, on their savings and IRAs and 401ks and annuities and all that kind of stuff, to require them to act as fiduciaries. Fiduciary is a fancy word that means you have to put your client first. You can't rip off your client. You can't, you know, you just can't do things that work to your advantage and hurt your client. And these judges said, no, you can't do that. That's, you know, we're going to declare that illegal. And then down in North Carolina, we've got Virginia Fox, Representative Fox, who is trying to pass legislation to bar this kind of thing. And the Republicans in the House want to do this in the budget. Check it out. It's at HartmanReport.com. And welcome back. We're talking with Lamar Waldron. So, Lamar, pick up the story.
So, two more crucial things about Nolan. So, one of the big controversies about the autopsy is that in Dallas, the Dallas doctors, when a bullet wound is made in the body, it generally you have a small entrance wound, then the bullet expands inside the body, and you have a large exit wound. So, in Dallas, the doctors saw what you know, at least one of them said was a small entrance wound. It basically just below his Adam's apple in the hollow of his throat, okay? And JFK was having trouble breathing because half his brain had been blown out. So they did a small 2 to 3 centimeter tracheotomy incision over that small bullet hole. So you could still tell it was a bullet hole, but there was a small tracheotomy incision to try, desperate attempt to try to aid JFK's breathing. When the body, when the official autopsy started at Bethesda, and there's a photograph of JFK's body, that 2 to 3 centimeter little neat tracheotomy incision over the small bullet hole had been at least doubled in size, almost tripled in size, and now instead of being a neat little incision that a doctor had carefully done, it's this huge jagged wound, almost as if, as many people have pointed out, someone had gone into that wound and enlarged it looking for the bullet that made that wound. Okay? So But the Dallas autopsy doctors, that wound was so big. I'm sorry. The Bethesda autopsy doctors, because there were no Dallas autopsy doctors, the three main Bethesda autopsy doctors, they didn't even know there was a bullet wound there. There was just this big gaping wound they assumed was a crude, quickly done tracheotomy thing that was you know, two or three times the size it was in Dallas. And so what was that all about? You know, when was that made? Because they didn't make it at the autopsy. It was that way when the official autopsy started. So I asked John Nolan. I said, look, some investigators and writers have theorized that there was a very brief and rushed national security autopsy before the main autopsy, the official autopsy, which at that time Oswald was still alive. So, you know, the official autopsy would probably wind up being used at Oswald's trial. You know, so that's an official legal thing. But so I just asked John Nolan, was there like a little brief unofficial national security autopsy before the main autopsy the doctors got there and before, you know, the official autopsy began? And John Nolan, being one of America's top lawyers, said, he didn't say, well, what's a national security autopsy? He didn't say, no, there was no national security autopsy. He said, well, you know, there were just so many national security considerations that's why things had to be done a certain way. And he said it was part of all those plans we had been making, you know, in case an American official was assassinated. So I think, to me, yeah, he didn't deny it, and he talked about the national. So, yeah, there was a brief national security autopsy. And get this, in that brief national security autopsy, we know from other witnesses who saw it, including a guy who later became an admiral and a guy who later became the head of the Bethesda Hospital, there was a bullet, when they were taking JFK out of the coffin, there was a bullet that rolled out of JFK's back. That right. made that back wound 6 inches below the top of his collar. So, right.
If Oswald was the lone shooter, there would not be an entrance wound in the front of Kennedy's throat.
Right,
it would be an exit wound.
He was in the Skulbeck depository, either on the
behind
second
him.
Floor or the sixth floor. Yeah,
right.
Behind him. So, and of course, Dave Powers, one of JFK's closest aides, who was in the limo right behind JFK, said, and his buddy had confirmed to Tip O'Neill, Kenneth O'Donnell, the first shot and the horrible fatal headshot, they both came from the grassy knoll.
Right. Dave Powers told me that.
I sat in his office. You were sitting in one of JFK's rocking chairs.
That's correct.
Because Dave Powers was the head of the JFK Presidential Library, and somebody who was working on their newsletter had been to our seminar, and we used that connection. And yeah, so you're sitting there with John Nolan was Robert Kennedy's closest aide. Dave Powers was JFK's closest aide, and in the car right behind JFK with Kenny O'Donnell, and he told you, yep, first shot and that horrible fatal headshot, yep, they came from the front.
And later confirmed it. So
that's why there was that national security autopsy. That's why so much medical evidence has disappeared. Well, we'll talk about that after the break, and then we'll get into the source that you interviewed.
Right, got to make sure, but the not bottom line here, got to make sure it was some lone shooter.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
What if you could help turn back the clock and help your dog play like a puppy again, no matter their age? Introducing Dr. Marty Pet's Nature's Blend, a premium freeze-dried raw dog food called the Miracle Worker by Forbes magazine. Dr. Marty is now helping dog parents right at home.
I've helped countless dogs thrive with one simple concept. Your dog needs a high-meat diet similar to what their ancestors ate in the wild.
Nature's Blend is designed to support your dog's healthy lifespan with turkey, beef, salmon, duck, seeds, veggies, and fruit, and with zero artificial preservatives. When given the choice between Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first. For a limited time, save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get free premium dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text Tom to 511-511. Text THOM to 511-511.
I am so confident your dog will love it. Your order is backed with a 90-day guarantee.
Study available upon request. Message.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.